You'd all turn with me to Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. This is a very familiar verse for all of us. Hebrews 13:8. We do read, I better start my timer or I will be going over time. We read here in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Also, if you would turn back with me to Malachi 3, one of the easier books in the Old Testament to find. I think the only one that's easier is Genesis, but that's just my opinion. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, we read, "For I am the Lord, I change not. These two verses tell us that Jesus Christ, and therefore God the Father, are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They do not change. They will not change. And that should be comforting to all of us to know. Because one of the things that allows us to do is it allows us to read through God's Word and see examples of what has happened in the past and how God reacted and took care of certain situations. And we can know without any doubt whatsoever that God will act the same today for us and also in the future. The title of the sermon today is God's Blessings, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And yes, God's blessings, we can see examples in God's Word of how He's blessed people throughout time, how He will bless us today, and how He will bless us and others in the future. And we can rest assured that He will not throw a curveball at us. What we read is exactly what we can expect. Well, first, let's start with the meaning of blessing. I think it's important because there's some subtle nuances to blessing. And that is one of the points that I want to make today, is a few of those subtle or maybe not so subtle nuances about blessings. Well, according to the Google Dictionary, figured we'd start there. Blessing is defined as God's favor and protection. It's also defined as a prayer asking for God's favor and protection. They also mention a grace said before or after a meal. One that I underlined is a beneficial thing for which one is grateful. Something that brings about well-being. How do you define a blessing? Can you look back through your life or even look forward in your life? What blessings you've received? What blessings you are receiving? And what blessings you expect for the future? Just think about that for a while as we go through some of the examples of yesterday. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1. We all know the story that's given here. It's the story of Abram's soon to be called Abraham. We read verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from your kindred and from your father's house and unto a land I will show you." And in verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." I want to point out here that not only did God bless Abraham, but in blessing Abraham, Abraham himself was to be a blessing. And we all in this room reap from that blessing on a daily basis. So, one of the things that I want to point out here, and we won't go through all the verses, but Abraham was told to leave the country that he was in, to leave his family. Can you imagine what would have happened if Abraham didn't do that? If he didn't obey? If he didn't do what God told him to do? All of history would be totally rewritten. Even our history would most likely not be the way it is today. That's not to say that God couldn't have raised someone else up to do it, but God called Abraham, specifically Abraham, and Abraham obeyed. Let's go on to Genesis 28, chapter 28. And let's start in verse 4. Well, let's start in verse 3. "And God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you mayest be a multitude of people." We're talking about Jacob here. And in verse 4 it says, "And give you the blessing of Abraham." So as we read earlier in Genesis, Abraham was to be a blessing to those that came after him. Well, right here is exactly one of those instances. This one isn't a direct line to Abraham. This is to Jacob. It says, "And give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you." That's all of us. "That you may inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So once again, Abraham's obedience to God's calling and what God asked him to do showered, you could say, blessings onto his descendants. God worked it that way. God wanted it to be that way. Remember, these are just examples for us to look at. And as with all examples in the Bible, we're to learn from them. And each one of us will take these words and learn from them in our own way. They'll affect each one of us differently because we are different. The specifics will be different, but the core that runs through this is God blesses those that he calls that obey that calling and obey him. We can read further here in Genesis 28, starting in verse 12. And here we read, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and of the God of Isaac. And the land whereupon you lie, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And I'll point out, it says all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not some of them. All means all. Especially when God says it. So what are the ramifications of that even today? If we bring it forward. All the nations will be blessed. Does that mean they will be blessed today? No. It just says they will be blessed. But they were blessed. Some were blessed yesterday. Some are being blessed today. And some will be blessed in the future. God does everything in his own time. So just because someone is being blessed today doesn't mean that someone who appears to not being blessed today is not being blessed. They're just not being blessed in the same way. But they will be blessed by God. And all those, everyone, all families, all people who have ever lived will be blessed. Because God has a plan for everyone. It's easy to forget that. Because God is blessing us today. At least I hope we all believe that we're all being blessed today. But we see a lot of people around us that we may not think that they're being blessed. And sure, they may not be blessed in the same way. But I would say that I'll even go out on a limb and say 99.9% of the people that we run into on a daily basis are being blessed simply because they live here in the United States. And that's not to put down any other country in the world, but it's our belief that the United States is one of the areas that people who live here today are being blessed because of Abraham, and that the descendants of Abraham are here. And God is blessing us through that. So, as I said, blessings yesterday, today, and into tomorrow. During the sermonette, and I want to thank Mr. Lucea, he brought up Joseph. And I have the section here, and Mr. Lucea covered it very well. Look back on Joseph's life, and you know, if you really just look at it, he went through a lot of things that were pretty harsh. A lot of things where you'd scratch your head, and he probably did himself, going, is this really a blessing? Is God really helping me? But Joseph was obedient. He didn't let any of those things get him down to the point where he began to disobey. We need to be the same way. Because you know what? As bad as things might seem to be going for us at any specific time in our life, one of the things we, my wife and I always talk about is that, you know, it could always be worse. And not only could it always be worse, but there are people that are, have got it worse and are going through worse things than we are at any specific time. We are so blessed. And we don't even know it many times. You know, there's a story that I read, and I'm going to just briefly bring it in because it's kind of a long story if you went through all of it. But it basically goes this way, that when a young man was reaching the age of being a driver, he was part of a rich family. And he wanted a real nice sports car. And he kind of asked his dad if his dad would get him a real nice sports car. And, you know, he was just bubbling that, you know, that he was able to ask his dad for it and that he knew his dad could, had enough money that he was going to get it. It was the only thing he'd think about. And came his graduation day. His dad handed him a box. And the son kind of looked at the box and kind of was a little questionable. And he opened up the box, and in the box was a Bible. And the son said, "Dad, thank you, but what is this? I have a Bible." And his dad said, "This is one you can read." And so the son was just beside himself. He was so worked up to receive that sports car. That's all he had on his mind, and he could not see anything else. And so he got angry, yelled at his father, and left. And as the story goes, he never talked to his father again. And I know some of us in this room can relate to some of this, maybe not the exact story, but in ways relate to it. And you know, as time passed, the man grew up himself, young man. He grew up and he was very successful. Got married, had plenty of kids. And one day he got word that his father was ill and that his father wanted him to come home and see him. And he wouldn't do it. Some time passed, and the next notice he got was that his father had passed away. But yet his father had left him everything. His father left orders for him to come home and execute his will and take care of his belongings. And now the young man was once again beside himself with grief and sadness and sorrow, because it finally dawned on him that life is short. So he goes there, he walks in the house, he starts looking around, and there's the box sitting on the side table. He went over to the box, it's the very same box that his father had given him on his graduation day, which he left there. He ran out the door in rage. He picked up the box, and he opened it, and a key fell out of an envelope that was taped to the back side of the box. It was a key to a brand new car. And in the envelope was a letter saying, "This is for you, son, paid in full." The reason I bring that story up is that blessings come in many different packages. And they don't always come the way we expect them to come. They didn't come the way that Joseph expected them to come. They didn't come in the way that Abraham expected them to come. But they still came. And if this father could execute on that, just think what God, our Father, will do, can do, and is doing for each one of us. We cannot overlook the blessings that each one of us is given, has been given, and will be given. We cannot take those things for granted. It's so easy to do. Believe me, I know. I think we all do if we are seriously honest with ourselves. But once again, blessings, as we read throughout the Bible, only come through obedience. We may not fully understand why certain things are happening to us, or certain things are not given to us or given to us. And humanly, sure, we're going to second guess almost everything, right? I know I certainly do. Hopefully I'm getting better at that. But we need to understand that God has a plan. His plan has been the same yesterday. It's the same today, and it will be the same in the future. We can count on it. Those that are not alive today can count on it. Those that have already died should have been able to count on it. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 4. Let's look at another example. Deuteronomy 4. Verse 1 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for you to do them, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you." This is Moses, repeating that, what the commandments that God had given. Reiterating them to the Israelites. And in verse 3 it says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you to this day." Those that obeyed were alive. They were not killed. It says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." Have you ever thought of the commandments that way? And those things that we read from God's word, that, as it states here, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, and we put in the sight of those around you, those you interact with. And it says, "which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." And you know, people may not say that to you today when they see that you keep the Sabbath, and every Sabbath you drive away from your home and you don't do certain things. You don't keep Christmas. You don't keep Easter or Halloween, and you do some strange things, is what they'll say. And some of them will not come right out and say it to you. And most people will be very nice and just, you know, go on, but they won't pay any attention to it. But believe me, it leaves an indelible mark on their intellect. And one day, when God begins to open their eyes, when it's their time, those memories will rush back. Our examples will be there as bright lights, as blessings to them, as the examples that we read in God's Word are blessings to us. Once again, only will obedience make that happen. Without obedience, our minds too can become blinded, become dulled. I think most people here also in the room and online have known people who have drifted away. And one can say their minds have become dulled. We cannot let that happen to us. We need to be aware, and we need to see the blessings that are presented to us as for what they are. They are blessings from God. The very fact that we're able to meet here every Sabbath is a blessing to each one of us. Some cannot meet here, but you know what? We're able to broadcast to them over the internet or by phone call. And those that have asked, we do that. We make that available. They're obeying, and they're being blessed, just as we are being blessed. We're all very aware, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, I can recall friends at work who even knew about these chapters of the Bible. Not that they necessarily believed them. I would say most of them didn't believe it because their actions showed that they didn't, either right or wrong. But in chapter 28, in the first 14 verses, we read of blessings, how God was going to bless Israel. And it's very specific. You can read through these yourself on your own time. But God, through Moses, reiterated the blessings that he would shower upon Israel if they would obey. As you go through each one of these, each one of them is paired up with a phrase that indicates obedience was necessary. And as I said, it's the first 14 verses. And then the rest of the chapter is what I'll call the bad stuff. It's what happens, or what happened to them, and what will happen to us in one way, shape, or form if we choose not to obey. God is very clear. You know, there was times when I was working that I wish my boss would have been that clear. You know, if you do this and you do this and you do that, things will go really well with you. And for the most part, they would try to do that, but there would always be this hook in there that you wouldn't know about. And like, you do that, you know, that wipes out all the other good stuff that you did. So I see a lot of smiles, so I know a lot of people have experienced that. So God's not that way. There are no secret clauses in here. We read this and we study it. And for each one of us, as I said when I started, there's a little different nuance, or we take this a little differently, how it affects our lives specifically. On an overall basis, it affects us all the same. Do what I say, everything goes well. Don't do what I say, it's not going to work out that way. But how that plays out in each one of our lives is not going to be an overlap of how it plays out in the person sitting next to us. We need to recognize the blessings and curses that are given here and given throughout God's word, more specific items. In chapter 30, we read in verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come unto thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord your God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that then the Lord your God will turn your captivity and have compassion unto you, and will return and gather you from all nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered you." It's true about each one of us. God has called us. He is, in that way, through our baptism, taken us out of the captivity of this world through Satan the devil, the captivity of sin. We have a blessing right now because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, allowing us to have our sins forgiven. How much of a blessing does each one of us really believe that is? And the only way we show that is by our obedience. And yes, we do continue to sin, but we know, and we should always, when we know that we've sinned, return as God gave them a chance to return to him. God gives us a chance to return to him immediately. As soon as we acknowledge our sin and start to change so that we will sin no more. We're coming up on a time of the year where we will be given the opportunity to partake in a ceremony, the Passover. We will acknowledge that very fact that Jesus Christ died for each one of us, died so that our sin, the penalty of our sin, could be removed. And you know what's so wonderful about it? It's just not a one-time thing. Because, as I said, we continue to sin. But we can continue to go to Christ and ask for forgiveness as we repent, as we change, as we make ourselves new through that repentance. What a blessing. And if it was explained, you think of some of the recent things that have happened, some of the pardons and all the rest of that. You think of how overwhelmed some of those folks that have been pardoned really are. Well, you know what? We've received the greatest pardon, and you know what? They have too. They just don't know it yet. A lot of them don't. But we do know it. The greatest pardon that could ever be is Christ's sacrifice. And the knowledge of that is such a blessing. Such a blessing. I'll ask again, how blessed are you? And I think each one of us can only answer for ourselves. As I said, we're all blessed in different things and in different ways. Because God treats us as individuals. He made us individuals. He made us to think for ourselves. He made us capable of doing that so that we could understand with the help of the Holy Spirit what He would have us to do, and that we could choose to do it. Well, that's this age-old thing that, well, if God wanted that, why wouldn't God just make us that way? And if you think about that, think of situations where things were just done for you. How appreciative and how much did you buy into that situation? Whereas we have free will. We can choose to obey God or we can choose not to obey God. And that blessing is that when we do, there is no other way. Everything we have is from God. Everything. We all have blessings. As I said, each one of us is blessed in different ways. I don't know, most of us aren't rich. Some of us are actually poor. But that doesn't mean those that have more are more blessed than those that have less. It just means that they're blessed differently. We cannot compare ourselves, and we should stop comparing ourselves to anyone other than Jesus Christ. You know, we're reminded to measure ourselves by the stature and the measure of Jesus Christ. And every time I read that verse or hear that verse, it makes me tingle. Because you know what? I don't necessarily measure up so well at times. But I know I can. And the more I read God's word and see the examples of how God continued to work with his people throughout time and didn't give up on them, I know God called me. He won't give up on me either. He won't give up on you. We have to acknowledge that fact, and we have to move forward. We have to repent and change. And when we do, our Father, our loving Father, with all mercy and grace, will be there to shower us with blessings. Doesn't mean we're all going to become rich. But you know what? God knows what we need at any point in time in our lives. And if we obey, He will make sure that we have it. We can't look at our blessings as rewards. They're not. Sure, we have to obey to receive them. But when it boils down to the fact, they are still God's grace and mercy that He showers them upon us. There's, as I said, physical blessings. And we've talked about some of the spiritual blessings. You know, the knowledge of God's truth. In both a physical and a spiritual way. Let's take the Sabbath. Mention how much of a blessing it is to be here, meeting with each other. You know, if you look at it just humanly, isn't it nice to have a day, just physically, that you can rest? I know many people that I worked with that it was a 7-day-a-week rat race. And they were worn down all the time. So if you looked at it just on a human, physical standpoint, that in itself is such a blessing. But it's so much more. It allows us to rest spiritually. It allows us to have time to renew ourselves, to renew our relationship with each other, and most importantly, to renew our relationship on a weekly basis with time with God our Father and Jesus Christ His Son. Gives us more time for Bible study and more time for prayer. And yes, it even lets us have men's cookie bake-offs. You know, fellowship here at church. It's so important. Because, you know, you can turn there, you don't necessarily have to, but Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance, which is another word for heart, of his friend. And that's what we do every week here at church. And when we get together, we sharpen each other. We don't cut each other, we sharpen each other. That's such a blessing. There's many of our brethren throughout the world that don't have an opportunity to do that on a weekly basis. Some don't even have the opportunity to do it on a monthly basis. And some, I would venture, only get to do it, if then, at the Feast of Tabernacles. So never, never take it for granted that us being allowed to attend the weekly Sabbath is anything but a great blessing. And we should take full advantage of that. How about God's feast days? They point us continually toward the plan of God and the kingdom of God. God's great plan, not only for us, but for all of mankind, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Turn to John 14. Verse 1, we read, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many offices. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. When we read verses like that, do we really, really take it to heart, the ramifications on the promises that God has presented to us? He tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let the future worry you. And I know at times it's very difficult, not humanly, to let that not happen. And I would say, when times are really rough, read verses like that. We should be so comforted. We're blessed. It's a blessing, that knowledge of God's truth. And to be able to open His Word, to open this book. This book is everywhere in the world. But you know what? Very, very few open it. And even less have the opportunity right now to fully understand it. And that understanding only comes by our obedience. It's not a foregone conclusion that we will understand this if we stop obeying. As I said, the Passover will be here in a few short weeks. And we're given an opportunity to reaffirm our belief and reaffirm that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He died for us. He died to give us the opportunity to repent from our sins and to be forgiven. The days of unleavened bread, which shortly follow, is a reminder in God's plan of keeping sin out of our lives. And we all know that de-leavening your house or de-leavening your property is not an easy job. And keeping sin out of our lives is not an easy job. That's the reminder. But we must be obedient in doing that if we accept that the blessings will come. All the feast days go on to Pentecost. Trumpets. Atonement. Feast of Tabernacles. And the last great day. They all bring blessings with them. Our knowledge of them is a blessing. So, to summarize, to have God's hand of blessing on us, we must study His Word. And not only must we study His Word, we must do what we read, what we understand. And as we do, as we obey, God will give us more understanding. He will bless us more with that understanding. We must seek God's blessing on our lives and in our lives above all else. God's blessing is the only blessing that counts now and for eternity. Sure, we can have riches in this life. We can have nice things in this life. We can have what people around us may call blessings. We may even call blessings. We do. We use that word quite often. But the real blessings in our life come by our obedience. And we should never forget where those blessings come from. And they should be a priority in our lives, obedience. As we saw in some of the examples, those blessings came down through families. And if nothing else, we've all received blessings showered on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those that have preceded us that we are reminded of in God's Word. Blessings flow through families. And we are going to be and are part of the family of God. God has said many places, exact words, that I offer you everything. Nothing will be held back. The Beatitudes in Matthew, it says, the meek will inherit the earth. Does that mean what it says to you? When we fully understand the meek, what does it mean to inherit the earth? And there's other places where it shows it's not just the earth. It's the universe. It's everything. It's everything that God has. We'll be part of the God family. And as part of the God family, just that young man who put his father off because of the anger and, I'll use the term, ignorance of the moment, divested himself from his father and missed out on the blessings that his father wanted to shower upon him. We need to make sure we don't do the same, that we fully grasp what God is doing for each one of us throughout our lives, no matter how small that blessing or gracious act may be. And as I said, God's blessings come, not necessarily in the packages that we always expect them. But we need to be prepared to accept them rather than just, as the young man did, turning from his father and leaving them go. We have the opportunity, we have God's Holy Spirit, that if we stir up each and every day of our lives, will not allow us to do that. He will not allow us to forget the blessings that we receive from our Father in heaven. We can read in Revelation a number of blessings there. It's the blessed statements throughout Revelation. They're called the Beatitudes of Revelation. They're a reiteration of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. But they have the future tense, I'll say, in mind, but the blessings are still the same. Talks about the resurrection, the first resurrection. Talks about us not forgetting and God and keeping the words that we read in the Bible close to our hearts. And if you'd all turn to Matthew 6 in closing, Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. I think it would do good to close on this set of verses. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." I'll take the chance to say treasures in heaven, the blessings from God, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will also be." So I pray that each one of our hearts will look closely at our own lives and truly appreciate and understand the blessings in whatever shape or form that they come from our Father in heaven. And that we may, in understanding those blessings for what they are, we may praise our awesome Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever.